Hello, everyone, and welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 333. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth. I am joined tonight by Lewis Pugh.
Let's go.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, internet.
I love your new greetings, by the way. So tonight we have two sections for you. We decided that the Nintendo Direct that we had this past week was so big that'll probably end up being a pretty big section. But our first section will actually be what we've been playing, and I think we'll just dive right into that with Colin on a game that we've mentioned on the podcast as being one that none of us have actually played. So finally someone's played it. Shin Megami Tensei 4. So.
Well, it's not been out for long, has it?
No.
In Europe.
In Europe, anyway.
Me and Harrison are such disappointments.
Well, see, this is the thing. It's okay. So it was originally released. Let me check. It was originally released in North America, July 16th. All right.
This year, or was that last year? Okay, that's what I thought. Year. I was like, wait, that wasn't that much time.
So yeah, it's like over a year later. Europe finally gets it. So happy days. Okay, so yeah. Shin Megami Tensei 4 is an RPG made by Atlus, and from what I've played so far, it is incredible. It's like a darker take on Pokemon, but, you know, because you're recruiting demons into your party, and that's how you gain team members.
So on that note, here's a question for you. Are the demons, like, really different from one another, or... do they each have individual names? Is it really like Pokemon where there's like 700 species of demon?
See, I don't know how many there are in the game so far, but every demon has an individual name as well as belonging to a larger group. So like, you know, beasts or spiritual, or, you know, they're categorized. Yeah, so I say a darker take on Pokemon because it literally, that's what you're doing. The basic plot revolves around, you're a trainee samurai, which is cool, in Japan, and you go through this ritual that you have to go through, and you get this gauntlet put on your arm, and this device is your touchscreen. So what happens is that's how you manage all your creatures, it's how you manage, you know, your inventory. It's all down on the touchscreen. It's just really nice, really quick and fluid. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but as far as I've played, I much prefer it to Pokemon. Well, it's just I always found Pokemon to be like a really lightweight RPG. Because that's what it is. It's really a lightweight, you know. It's not exactly a challenge, I wouldn't say. Whereas this game is certainly a challenge because it kicks you straight in at normal difficulty.
Okay.
Yeah, if you die once, you go down to hell and you meet the ferryman who takes you across the River Styx. And he explains what's going to happen, and then he lets you go back to the real world, free of charge, for the first time only.
Ooh.
He's a generous fellow.
Oh yeah, I mean, if I ever get that offer, I'll be happy. So, now if you die a second time, the game basically says, okay, you're fighting this a challenge, would you like us to lower the difficulty? And, okay, so I died twice in the first 20 minutes of playing the game. So I was like, yes, please. Please lower the difficulty. And so they basically nerf most of the enemies and make it so it's actually easier to recruit them and gain a sensible team, which is nice. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the way you recruit monsters because you actually talk to them. And each monster's got their own little personality. So you've got to try and work out what they like, what they don't like. And you basically negotiate with them. You know, you can offer them money, items, or they'll say, can I have some of your health? Or can I have, you know...
So I've got a quick question. Is this like during a battle with said monster, or is this outside of this?
No, it's during the battle. And so if you succeed in a negotiation, he joins you. If you fail, he gets a free turn to attack you.
Oh, okay.
But you get to try again next turn. So you can keep going. Sometimes they'll go away. Or sometimes they'll give you a quest, saying, okay, if you manage to beat, you know, 10 of my brothers, or, you know, brethren, then I'll join you. It's like, okay. So it's just a unique take and an alternative to Pokemon, which is let's face it, right? Pokemon is basically animal slavery. That's what it boils down to. You're taking Pokemon out of their natural habitat and trapping them inside little round prisons. So,
haven't you ever seen the TV show?
Yes, I have. Unfortunately, I didn't like the TV show. It was terrible. Mm. So yeah,
Colin and I are completely opposite on this. In fact, at our last Infendo game night, which Colin and I were the only ones who were able to make it, and we couldn't even have voice chat, but we did have a text chat, and we basically just were going back and forth. I was saying like, I really liked the show, the Pokemon TV show, when I was little, and Colin's like, I hated it, and so.
Yeah.
It's good, though, that we have some differing opinions, because Lewis also loves Pokemon, like myself, and so good to have differing opinions.
And it does raise another question, though, with all the comparisons to Pokemon, is there a multiplayer component to this?
Ooh.
That's obviously a big point in Pokemon.
You see, I've looked into this. Apparently there's a Street Pass function.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't been able to locate it yet.
Oh, sometimes that happens.
It's like buried in the menu somewhere. So, I haven't been able to find it. But there's no... I mean, the only online capability that there is DLC for the game. And most of it is free, which I'm really happy about. Because in the perfect world, all DLC should be free. And there are some paid DLC missions. And they're usually worth the money. It's usually really, really good. So... yeah, so that's basically Shin Megami Tensei 4. Of what I played, it's actually a really good experience so far.
Good to hear. So those of you who are in Europe, you can now finally get that game for your 3DS.
Yep.
So moving on, I guess we'll move on to Lewis. You can talk about what you have been playing. And as I have heard, you've been playing, what, like 3-4 games lately?
Yeah, there's a smattering of little things I've been playing. I think that the first thing I should... start on is Bayonetta 2. In the last episode, I discussed my completings of the first game and how I was still on the adrenaline rush after beating that game. And jumping into the second game, wow! I mean, I was very impressed with the first game, and I was thinking, well, the second game is probably just more of this, and in a way, it is. But I also wasn't kind of prepared to have such a different graphical leap.
That's right, yeah.
Because I kind of see, you know, the Wii U as being on the same level as, you know, the previous gens were for the competitors. Because a lot of games do look in that sort of way, but the jump from Bayonetta 1 to Bayonetta 2 is absolutely huge, and the just kind of the backgrounds and the beautiful environments look absolutely stunning. And I'm not sure if it's just kind of on a technical level it's better, or it's just they've managed to... they've got some better artistic direction going behind it. There's a lot more lighter environments, and a lot of different types of environments where the previous game kind of focused around like greys and browns, and that sort of aesthetic.
Well, I mean, yeah, it certainly shows you like what a difference makes from being a port of a game to being a game made for that system.
Oh, that's very true, and not to get Bayonetta 1 wrong, because I mean it's the port is done really well as well. I mean, it's probably the best version of that game.
It is.
But yeah, that just proves how much more they've done on the second game. But beyond the beautiful environments and such, I'm just also impressed with the amount of stuff they're managing to chuck at you. In quotes, the earlier periods of the game, where in the first game you'd be doing a lot more of the repetitive stuff type stuff. Not that it was boring, but you would be going like from what you would have established as normal type enemies to the next, and like moving through different environments. With the second game, it's more to do with the set pieces, and even though you do obviously fight the regular enemies, it's normally done in a way that the context, or the scene that you're fighting them in, there's something more exciting about it than just going after one enemy at a time. But even with my short playthrough so far, the character has gone through quite a lot. Met some interesting characters, which I'm going to reserve my judgment on for now. The wait to see how they develop. But we've got some new characters that have been introduced, which I've got mixed minds on so far. But so far, I'm finding the game absolutely amazing. Also, another thing which probably should be mentioned is the music. Just as catchy as the first game, and just as awesome. But yeah, having a great time with Bayonetta 2 so far. So yeah, thoroughly recommend that one still. And beyond Bayonetta 2, we also had some new games and other stuff arrive onto the eShop. A lot more of that we're going to be going into detail in a little bit. One of the things I have essentially been playing is the new set of Pikmin short animations.
Yeah, just a little background on those. We'll be talking about, obviously, like Lewis said, the Nintendo Direct itself a little later on the show. But after this past Nintendo Direct that we had, Nintendo made these Pikmin shorts available for purchase on either your 3DS or Wii U for $4.99 here in the United States. I don't know what it is in Europe.
Oh, I'm trying. It's around that sort of price in pounds, but I'm not sure what the exact figure is at the top of my head. But yeah, it's around that £5 mark, I believe, for the set.
Did you download the short movies on your 3DS and or your Wii U?
On the Wii U for me.
Okay.
Although the 3D-ness sounded quite cool, I was, looking forward to the HD graphics more.
Yeah, if you actually read, I posted a little article on Infendo about like the 3D version versus the HD version. I thought I'd get both
so I
could tell everybody what the best version is. And most people's instincts probably say like, oh, it's probably the HD version that's better. Well, you're right. I mean, the 3D is all right. But actually, what I think you should, if you're getting the 3DS version at all. I mean, the 3D isn't why you should get it. It's just the portability. That's what I kind of mentioned in my article, is that the 3D isn't all that great, honestly. So if you want to be able to watch them on the go ahead and get them on your 3DS. But if you have a Wii U, that is the way to watch these. They're completely beautiful in HD.
Yeah, they do it really cool. I was surprised at the kind of level of detail. I assumed for whatever reason it would just be the Pikmin 3 engine. And they somehow scripted the Pikmin to do some clever things in it and shot a film around it. But no, it seems like it's sunk completely unrelated graphics-wise. It's its own thing, and it looks a lot better than the game, as you would expect, or you would hope. But I thought they were generally well shot, and they were pretty funny as well.
I thought they were really funny, too. The Pikmin are so, so cute.
Yeah, I'm always dubious of those sort of things as well. Like, I know they've dabbled with little videos in the past. I'm trying to think what they were. Like, they had those Wind Waker type videos. And did they have some other Pikmin videos before?
They did. They had those weird ones where it was like this guy taking you on a safari through the world of Pikmin. But I think it was actual Pikmin 3 footage, and it just had a voice actor kind of narrating it in a funny way.
Yeah.
So I was kind of expecting more of that sort of thing. I was impressed with this because it looks really high production values. It does look really nice. My only disappointment really is kind of the size of it. But they were very transparent in how long these things were going to be. But I was just so pleased that I wanted to have some more.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of gives you a sense of like, wow, if Nintendo actually invested a little bit into filmmaking, like, I don't think it would go too badly. As long as they get, they're not trying to like animate the movies themselves. I think having an animation team, outside Nintendo, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, a professional studio do it.
Yeah, they could do a lot with that. I kept thinking about Wind Waker, and there's the short little Kid Icarus Uprising anime videos.
Yeah, definitely.
Those were really good, and I would love to see more of those. So there's plenty of stuff that they could do with all of their franchises. And this is just one small step toward that. It might not even lead to anything, but...
Yeah, I do get the feeling like this is just one of Shigeru Miyamoto's odd projects that he wanted to do. Like, he wanted to he wanted to animate a short film, and so he did.
Exactly, yep. Yeah.
That is what it felt like, but it turned out really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, they have been selling this, and, we've been buying it. But I can't see this was a huge, business-driven plan. Like, let's make some Pikmin movies. It's really going to bring the money in. Pikmin short movies is what the fans are shouting for.
You know what? I think they would actually fit really well as just, like, a little special on, like, Disney Channel or something like that, though. I think kids would love them.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, they're really cute. And I reckon they would have to appeal outside of the gaming audience, as it were. Yeah, they're nicely done.
Yeah. So, aside from talking about, I mean, if we were to talk further about these, we might be getting into spoiler territory when it comes to the little stories that go on. So, I think we'll just end that there. And did you want to talk about Shovel Knight as well?
Yeah, just as a very short update on this one. Obviously, the same time the Pikmin videos came up, there was also a couple of games. One of them was Shovel Knight, which I've been eagerly anticipating to come out here over in Europe. And so it came out on both the Wii U and the 3DS, to which I bought the Wii U version. But there is a special offer going in Europe currently. I don't think it's time-limited, actually. I think it's just a permanent thing, which is if you buy either version, you get 30%, or is it 33%?
It's 33%, yeah.
Yeah, off of the other version. And so it's kind of a third away towards cross-buy, if you want to put it like that.
I wish you could transfer save files with Shovel Knight, but you can't.
Yeah, that would
do
be
that,
the next thing, hopefully, because we've got a couple of games now which had this like some sort of discount if you get both versions. But it's this the kind of the save sharing is the missing piece. It's all well and good having two versions, but if the saves can't talk to each other, then that loses a lot.
Yeah, I would have gotten the 3DS version, no question, if I knew I could transfer my save file, but.
Yeah, well, you get derailed too much, but it's like one of the things that like Monster Hunter works so well in, because there are advantages of taking it away portably and playing on the big screen. The fact that you do share the save files. If you couldn't, then that whole thing would be a lot lost in that. But Shovel Knight.
Back on the Shovel Knight.
Yeah, back on the Shovel Knight. I've played the first. Well, I played two proper levels. I've been in obviously like the village. And
the village is unlocked after the first level, right?
Exactly, yeah. So I did like the first level of the village, the second, I think I've gone back since. But I've only done like two of the
actual platforming levels.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm having a great time with this game so far. It really does feel like it's just been like this long lost classic game, which is just being pulled up from the retro ages and brought into the modern world. But yeah, I mean, like, I think part of the thing which sells it so well is the music fits so well. There's been a lot of like retro, like revival type games recently, and a lot of them, I think, fall short, like recapturing it by not having like all the authentic type music, or they try and simulate it, and it just doesn't feel right. This game has hit it perfectly, and on top of that, it's just really intuitive. There's a bunch of times playing this game, admittedly at the early stages. And without any sort of like text prompt or even some sort of like a diagram or logo or whatever, I was figuring out how to progress and use a new ability that I hadn't even used before, but in a way I needed to progress. So it's really smartly designed, and I really appreciate that. Like, I find myself kind of doing this new maneuver to take out an enemy and bounce forwards, and it's like, I haven't even tried this yet, but I knew instinctively what to do here. Well done, the game.
There's a lot of like little secrets to find, and within the levels themselves, there are some seriously challenging moments where you'll be rewarded with like a new weapon or item at the end, or just a whole lot of treasure. It's a really fun game to explore.
That's true. Yeah, no, I have found a secret weapon, and there's a bunch of just secrets in general. What I've not really played around with yet is what's on the Wii U touchscreen. I know there's some sort of menu down there when you're playing.
Yeah.
I can't say I've got to the stage yet where I'm actually poking around to do extra stuff while I'm playing, so I'm not sure how useful that would be yet.
Well, there's just a couple of different subscreens down there. I forget what most of them are. There's one where you select the item that you use with, I think it's up Y. That's how you use items in that game, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to hold up on the D-pad and hit Y, I think, to use items. So you can only select one item at a time, and you can change that on the touchscreen. There's also a tab with Miiverse integration. You get messages from people who left the messages in that same situation. So you can kind of see what people thought at the boss that you died at. Like, if you die at a boss, you can look at your messages,
well,
and people will have left like these really frustrated messages.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's integrated pretty seamlessly, and it fits into the whole like style of the game and everything. And so The Miiverse integration is actually pretty awesome.
Excellent.
I guess the one big question for me, does this game feature off-TV play?
It does, yes. I've used that very briefly, but you can swap it with the select button. And so then you kind of got your big portable version as long as you don't try to leave the house of the thing.
Yeah. Never tried that.
It won't work. Let me just say it.
Well, no, I know.
Well, saying that, I've managed to play it in my back garden. So not, if that
wow.
counts.
You left your house. So.
Yeah, this is a really odd tidbit here. We had this barbecue a few months back when the weather was a lot nicer, as you can probably imagine, and the TV's kind of facing the window at the back of the house. And so what we managed to do is have Mario Kart running on the TV, and people were outside, like next to the barbecue with controllers playing Mario Kart, which was inside. And I was just kind of sat down outside facing them on the gamepads, which brings up the weird point that in Mario Kart 8, although you can play multiplayer off TV, that person still has a split screen, which there is no need for. So I was playing on this piddly screen. But it was still fun and a weird scenario nonetheless.
Yeah. I've encountered a couple of weird scenarios. Well, I've created more like a couple of weird scenarios myself. So any other further thoughts on Shovel Knight? It's just good, right?
It is good. I guess my closing comment is that there are some weird town folk in the world of Shovel Knight.
Oh, yeah. It's a really charming, I mean...
Like horse ladies and frog men and... Yeah.
Yeah, physically, visually they look really weird, and some of them also have really weird lines. And wait until you get to the end, like the credits show all of the characters... And even like the boss characters and what they're up to, and it's kind of one of those things that is like, yeah, this is what happened after, and it's so fun to watch. Some of my favorite credits ever.
Ooh, excellent. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I had played the game for I think about 10 hours when I finally beat it, so it's a pretty lengthy game for just $15 over in the United States
and
anyway.
Especially in that sort of retro style it's going for, you could have expected it to be a lot shorter than that.
Uh-huh. That's right, yeah.
Very good game. So good. moving on, I guess I will talk about what I've been playing. I've been playing Fantasy Life. Yay. So Fantasy Life. I am not that familiar, honestly, with Level 5, the studio behind Fantasy Life. I'm not familiar with a lot of their RPGs that that they've put out in the past. I'm obviously at least somewhat familiar with Professor Layton, which they also worked on, but... I don't have a lot of experience with their RPGs, so this is a Level 5 RPG, and I'll just say right now that I'm pretty much hooked. It kind of started really slowly. Like at the beginning, you have to go to the king, and he congratulates you on starting your new life. Well, at the very, very beginning, you actually create an avatar first, and then you choose your first life, and then you go to the king, and there's this whole kind of like, actually, it's quite boring. Story introduction. I just was thinking to myself, I just want to get that out there and explore. Why can't I do that? So when you finally get permission to go talk to your life master, each of the 12 lives that you can choose from has a master that you go learn from. So when you finally get to go to your master, there's another pretty lengthy just story event that goes on, and you have to complete that. So honestly, the game was very, very slow getting started. I actually, in my first save file, started as a carpenter. That was my first life that I chose, because I thought, if I'm a carpenter, I can, you know, immediately just start making the stuff that I will need in other classes, or in other life classes. But honestly, that was a bad, bad idea. I've restarted that after playing it for like an hour. So I actually kind of went through the introductory material twice, which was very painful. But my advice to you who haven't gotten the game, but you eventually do, for your first life, choose a combat type of life. The combat lives are paladin. That's kind of the generic one. You can be a mercenary or a hunter or a mage. That's the last one, or just a magic user. I think that's what they're called, mages. So just pick one of those. Take my word for it. It's good to be able, especially when you get out of the main town, which is called Castell, or I think that's how you say it, Castell. When you get out of there and into the fields of Reveria, You're going to need to be able to defend yourself first and foremost from the wild creatures that roam.
So could you not defend yourself as a carpenter?
You could, but...
Do you have a hammer and nails you can attack with?
Well, to use certain weapons and to get better weapons and be able to use those, you have to be, like, at a certain level in a certain class.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I think you can, like, wield a dagger, maybe a sword in any class, and that's how you'd defend yourself. But the funnest... I think the best way to start out playing is by picking a combat class, collecting tons and tons of materials from monsters. You can also pick up, like, plants and catch bugs and just collect a whole bunch of stuff. The way I decided to start out was to just make as much darn money as I could, which the money's called Dosh. I really like that for some reason.
Dosh.
Dosh. So that would be my advice. I started out as a mercenary. That was a very excellent class to start out as. I was very glad I did. I am now an angler, though, which is what I would call a gathering class. So to me, there are like three types of classes, life classes, that is, combat ones, gathering ones, and like creating ones. So other gathering ones would be like a miner, what would you call it, a lumberjack? What? A woodcutter, I guess. An angler would also be a gathering one. I can't think of any more for some reason. But then the final type of class, I'd say, is creator. And those would be like a tailor, a cook, a carpenter, a blacksmith. That's all I can think of. Again, I might have just named them all, possibly. But but start with the combat class, and then I'd actually move to a gathering class and gather a ton of materials that way, and then move to a creator class. Once you learn skills in one class, you can actually continue to use those skills. So as a mercenary, I got pretty high as a mercenary before I turned into a fisherman, basically. And as a mercenary, I was able to use like this really, well, good enough weapon, a claymore. That's kind of the mercenary type of weapon, claymores. So I currently have a really powerful weapon, but I'm a fisherman, and so I can go around and kick enemies' butts, but also relax and do some fishing. So the skills do carry over, so you're constantly growing and just getting better. And I just, oh man, I'm addicted to this game. So good. It's just my type of game, I think. It kind of makes me think pacing-wise and just like atmosphere-wise. It makes me think of like Animal Crossing a little bit, but mostly to me like Rune Factory, those games, Harvest Moon. But I don't know. I feel like it's a bigger world and everything's more efficient and fun and there's so much to do.
Is it just based around one town that you stay in? Or do you get to explore like a world map and adventure far and wide?
It's a far and wide type of thing. The main town that you start out at is Castell. And the next town, which I haven't even gotten to yet. I mean, I've played this game for well over 10 hours now, and I still haven't gotten to the second town. It's called Puerto. You know, like, maybe it's like Puerto Rico. So I guess I could just say Porto.
We'll call it PP. There you go.
PP. That works for me. So, yeah. And there's tons of places to explore. And you'll even see, like, people camped out kind of in the middle of the wilderness sometimes. And so it's, like, highly populated. Oh, it's so much fun. There's so much to do and collect. And if that's your type of game, then I would not pass on Fantasy Life. It has been a blast for me so far. Once I got past that point early on, that was boring. It got so good, so it's highly recommended for me. And I really need someone to play it with. So if any of our listeners out there have it and want to play multiplayer, hit me up on Twitter. And if you don't have a Twitter, get one, because it's pretty useful. I'll give out my Twitter handle at the end of the show, so I would really, really love to try out the multiplayer in this game. It's so fun. And I could keep talking about it. I mean, all the quests that you can do. Oh, collecting bounties and... so good. It's just my game. My type of game. But I, unless you guys have any other questions, I think we'll just move on to our next section.
No, I'm excited for it.
So. So we will move on now to our second section then. Nintendo News. We're going to be covering the Nintendo Direct that we had on November 5th, which was a Wednesday, thank goodness, because I have a whole chunk of time right in the middle of Wednesday that I have off, and I had plenty of time before, during, and after the Direct to just enjoy it. So that was really good. The first thing that the Direct had in it was an announcement trailer, actually, for The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D. Ooh. It's coming spring 2015.
Finally.
Really excited, Basil.
This is the version of this game I'm probably finally going to actually play deep and beat, finally. So, but, okay, so I have just one concern about Majora's Mask in general. I'm probably not the only one who thinks this. In fact, I've talked to at least one person who thinks the same way, that the whole, like, time limit thing in Majora's Mask, where at the end of the 3 days, it just kind of puts you right back into the, what is it, the clock tower that you start at?
Yeah, yeah. Inside the clock tower.
Yeah, how do you play this game when at the end of the time limit, it just shoves you back over there? That's always been my big concern with this game, is like, how can you enjoy it because of that? Colin. Colin's okay. The big Majora's Mask fan.
Okay, right. So, yeah, I mean, okay, so you have a 3-day time limit, and it's fine, but the great thing about Majora's Mask is you get to relive those 3 days over and over and over again. You get to experiment, you get to try different paths, and anything key that you do, so any key item, you keep. So, because you can actually like mess up side quests in this game, you can actually you can actually fail them. So you think, oh, what have I done? So you can just reset the time and try it again. Yeah, I mean it's Majora's Mask is my favorite Zelda game because it goes away from the usual Zelda conventions. It still has the excellent dungeon design, and it has, well, I think, stronger dungeons than Ocarina of Time, which is, that's almost heresy to say. And, yeah.
Is there still a time limit of 3 days when you're in the dungeon?
Yep. Yes. Yes, there is.
Which...
So what happens when it runs out when you're in a dungeon?
Game over.
I'm trying to recall. I know
you basically lose all your progress in the temple, so that's a big no-no. There are a few things you can do to help yourself in that scenario. I can't remember what it is, but one of the songs on the ocarina will slow down time, and it does that quite considerably. So I think it gives you, like, in real time, about 3 times as much time as it would normally tick down.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you an extra, technically, almost an extra set of days to... But yeah, what you do is write this down, you play the Song of Time backwards.
That's it.
Yep, the Song of Time.
Okay.
Play it backwards. Or, if you want to speed up time for some bizarre reason, you play each note twice. So it'd be 4 forward. Well, this is 4, but it'd be like C right, AA, you know, down, down.
Yeah.
That sort of.
Yeah, I think on my initial playthrough, although I've only actually fully completed it once, I didn't actually know about the slowing down trick, and so I did find pretty much all of the dungeons quite stressful. But they are all designed in a way that they can be completed even without slowing the time down.
That's right, yeah. Well,
you just need to kind of remember to keep going. You can't really rest.
Yeah, the best practice I always found was find a path to the dungeon you're trying to get to. Then reset the days so it goes back. Because that way you know where the path is, you know the route to take, you get there a lot quicker. So once you've got there, you've got plenty of time to clear the dungeon. You know, you're talking hours, you know. Mm. So once you clear a dungeon, you've got the key item that you need, and then you can just reset the time again, and then carry on. I mean, the reset time function is actually quite, you know, it's a big barrier to entry for a lot of people, but it's really not that bad. It's not, you know, it's like a huge shadow over the game, like, oh, you've got to relive the same 3 days. It's not that bad.
Yeah, and all the dungeons have, like, a save point in front of them, don't
exactly.
they? So you can always reset the time, then warp to it, which doesn't take too much time.
So,
well, for me, I mean, one of the things I hate most in some games is having to do the same thing that I'm pretty much a pro at already, over and over and over again. Like, that's one of the reasons I actually hated Donkey Kong Country Returns, is because the checkpoints, I mean, there'd be a checkpoint, especially in the rocket levels, like the barrel rocket levels. There'd be a checkpoint, and I would get to where I was pretty much like a pro for like maybe half of the area between that checkpoint and the next one, and then there was just this one part that kept tripping me up over and over and over and over and over again. And I just hated doing everything before that. It'd be like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes worth of gameplay that I had pretty much mastered and already played like 10 times over, and I was just tired of it by then. So, I have a problem with some games like that.
Majora's Mask isn't... It is like that, but it isn't. I mean, there's lots of little tips and tricks you can do. I mean, because it's the one thing that, in Ocarina of Time, the Ocarina of Time wasn't really that useful. I mean, you played the songs, you played that's all you use it for. It didn't actually manipulate time, whereas this, it does. And so, that's like, you know, the best thing about this game. But, yeah, I mean, the three-day time isn't super strict. So, you've got plenty of time between each day to do what you have to do.
Yeah, I think most importantly, though, I think this game really nails the atmosphere. This, like, spooky, weird, kind of a bit freaky theme going throughout the entire game, yeah. And it touches on a lot of kind of subjects related to that as well that you might not expect just kind of going into it. And I think it's really masterfully done. And just some of the weird fables and such which you would discover in that game.
Yeah, some of the townsfolk are strange.
Yeah, and it all just kind of helps build this almost like living, breathing world, which I feel Majora's Mask does better than any other Zelda game. In part because it does have that 3-day mechanic. People do have a day-to-day routine. Well, it's not even day-to-day. They might do something different one day to the next day to the third day. And you can follow them around, and you can see what they do, and you can see what they get up to, whether it's in or out of a town. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot involved in that, and that's where a lot of the side quests come from as well. But, yeah, the most memorable thing of that game is kind of the creepiness, the Skull Kid himself, the mask, or the Majora's Mask, and I guess the transformations as well we've not really talked about.
The transformations will stick into your mind, but you see them, yes. They're horrific.
I did play a little bit of Majora's Mask, because I have the Legend of Zelda anniversary, like 10-year anniversary or something like that, disc for GameCube.
Yeah.
That has Ocarina of Time. Well, it has the original Zelda, Zelda 2, Ocarina of Time, and Majora's Mask. So I did see the initial thing where he transforms into a Deku shrub, Link, that is.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. Well, you know, as big of a Nintendo fan as I am, I should probably play and beat Majora's Mask at some point.
Don't sound terribly enthused.
I don't. I'm not.
I'm interested to see what tweaks they do to this. Because they did quite a few tweaks to, you know, Ocarina of Time 3D, and they've teased about there will be, obviously, stuff added into this. And apparently they started development of this after they finished up development of Ocarina of Time 3D. So it's been in development for quite a while.
That's like, yeah, because it's like, what, when is Ocarina of Time 3D? Was that 2011?
Yeah, that was it. That was the 25th anniversary of Zelda, so that was it.
Yeah, so it's this game. Okay, so originally Majora's Mask was in development for like just under 2 years.
Yeah,
it came out in 2000.
So yeah, apparently this remix has gone longer than the original game.
It's gone like nearly twice as long. So there's got to be something added to it, you would think. But
if it's a little more accessible, then this might finally be the version that I beat.
I'm wondering if they'll let you kind of in more precise detail, like warp to specific times, and like if you can just like rewind to certain bits. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing for me is the actual, okay, so in the original game there's at the bottom there's like a graph and it just sort of shows you the sun going across, but it's not super accurate.
No,
so it's kind of hard, it's hard to gauge like how much time you have left.
So Link should get a digital watch for this game.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, but maybe a mask with a digital clock on it.
You upgrade to an Apple Watch.
That'd be good. Maybe they'll put that on the touch screen.
Exactly, yeah, it's all touch screen these days.
It's not that hard, especially on the 3DS, to look down at the touch screen.
That's true.
When you need
That's
to.
True. So, and yeah, I didn't want to obscure your view, because that, Yeah, the interface of Majora's Mask did take up quite a lot of space with the clock and the usual stuff. And
yeah, that was a problem. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
I'm just kind of glad that they haven't tried to clean it up a bit in terms of, you know, the weird atmosphere. Because it does look like the black sheep of the family. No other Zelda has been quite like that.
It's very dark.
Yeah, dark. I was worried that they might try and make it feel more like normal Zelda games. But no, I'm glad it looks weird and feels weird. And that debut trailer was just weird in general.
Oh, yeah, it was. They picked some really good music to portray that as well.
Yeah, and that's what I think when I think Majora's Mask. So they're on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, in Majora's Mask, all the music's like off-key and spooky. But like I said, Majora's Mask is the darkest Zelda game. Mainly because, I think this is accurate, I believe this is the only game where Link can technically commit murder.
Wait?
But, yeah. It's not like a side quest, but it's something you can actually kill a NPC.
Ooh.
So
it's not like we haven't tried that before. You know, there's Zelda games, like slashing the computers and nothing happens.
So we're not talking chicken again, are we?
it's very specific, so it's one moment where you've got the opportunity to do it if you want to. But it's kind of, that's how bizarre, that's how, you know, dark this game does get. It's like, where's this going? Yeah, Majora's Mask is, I mean, it's just nice to not have to, like, get the Master Sword and then fight Ganon.
That's true.
Very
different structure to normal Zelda games in that sense.
That's right,
as well.
I mean, because it departs from, the dungeons are still there, but most of the conventions are gone for this particular Zelda game. You know, I mean, you've still got the overworld, you know, Terminal, and things like that. You've still got the key items to find. And you could ride a Pona as a child, which I don't understand why you could do in Majora's Mask, but you couldn't do it in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Bizarre, but...
Well, Ocarina of Time was made first, so that was just something they didn't want to put in there.
But it's kind of... It looked weird when you first see Link as a child riding a pony, essentially. But, it's...
Well, I guess I won't get it then. Just kidding. I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, give it a chance, please.
The 3D version is probably the best chance I'll ever have. So, moving on to the rest of the Nintendo Direct, though.
No, of course, there was more.
So, there's a lot more. I have a list of games and games and some kind of miscellaneous items here. The idea is for us to decide whether our opinion on these games stayed the same or grew. I was going to put on here, did it get worse? But I doubt any of our opinions on any of these got any worse after the Direct. So, but if that's the case, please do tell. So that would be good. The first one I've got on here, though, is Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. So just quick response to this. Did your opinion stay the same or get more positive after the Captain Toad coverage? Lewis.
Everything I see of this game, it's more positive every time.
Okay, Colin?
I've always been fairly ambivalent to Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, so my opinion doesn't change at all.
The trailer, it showed part of, like, every one of the 70 levels. I mean, and that's my answer, is that my opinion went up, because, oh my gosh, the variety, and it actually looks like it's a really, really big game.
Yeah, and some of the levels themselves are quite big, which I was worried about initially. I thought they would be very small cubes.
There was that tiny little moment where Captain Toad is in a little mine cart and he falls like way, way far down, and it's like that level looks like it could be massive.
Yeah.
So mine cart levels too, that looks fun. So, but Colin, I'm guessing you're saying that your opinion has basically stayed the same.
Yeah, which is, I don't really have one.
You get to play 3D World, haven't you?
Yeah, thinking but I see the trouble is I'm not a huge Mario fan. Okay, you know, I completely respect the Mario games. I understand their values, but I don't really like them.
Oh, so. You gotta try those Captain Toad levels, though. They were one of the best parts of 3D World.
Well, maybe one day.
All right, so moving on, the next item I have on the list here is Amiibo in general. So, Lewis, has your opinion stayed the same on Amiibo or gone up or possibly down?
Someone may need to remind me what we saw from Amiibo in this direct. I can't remember what they showed.
Well, Link's amiibo will be compatible with Hyrule Warriors. Oh, yeah. We've known that for a while, so now we know what it'll do. It's going to unlock the spinner weapon.
We know what the others will do as well.
Interestingly, every amiibo will work with Hyrule Warriors. It's just that every amiibo besides Link will just give you like a random weapon or item or amount of rupees.
We heard about the Mario Kart 8 usage as well, didn't we?
Oh, yes, yes. So some of the amiibo, only 8 so far, I think, will unlock special costumes for your Mii character in Mario Kart 8.
Probably the same, my opinion, for amiibo after this direct.
Okay. I have to say, I'm kind of on the same level as well. I was planning on buying maybe just one or two this year, and I still feel that way. So, Colin.
Oh, I didn't really care for amiibo before the direct, and I still don't care now.
Okay, so we're all the same there. Colin's probably still not going to buy amiibo.
No, it doesn't interest me whatsoever.
I will still buy an amiibo, but honestly, these reveals don't really change my idea of which amiibo I'm going to buy either. So yeah.
No, unless I guess they say a particular one supports, these games in these ways, because it looks like some amiibos will be more useful than others.
Yeah, the Link one.
Exactly, yeah, Link's the best one so far.
So, Colin, you're not going to get a Link one, even though it'll unlock the spinner.
You see, that's the irritating thing. I hope they make that available elsewhere. I don't want to have to buy a Link. Yeah. I hope they'll have to buy a Link and Bebo just to, get it. Oh, that's going to be so good.
Well, you could use it in other games. That's the point.
Yeah, again, it doesn't... I've got enough clutter as it is. I don't need more. So, maybe I'll see Lewis one day and I'll just borrow Link amiibo just for a second.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll let you do that.
maybe. Maybe it won't let you unlock like more than just one spinner with just one amiibo. Well, we'll see. We'll find out. Our next game under here is codename Steam, and it almost looks like that's going to be the final name for this game, which
I think it is.
Well, it makes sense because Steam is an acronym and it stands for what?
Was it Strike, strike Team strike Eliminating team. The Alien Menace, I believe.
Yeah, that's it.
Well recalled.
So we got a lot of gameplay information about this. I'm starting to get the game a lot more, which means that my opinion on it has gone up because before I was really confused. But how about you, Colin?
My opinion's going way up for this game. I'm really excited for it now, which is such a downer so far.
Finding out that Abe Lincoln will be unlockable at some point in the game, that's pretty cool.
I guess so.
That's not what you thought was awesome?
No, not particularly, but I mean...
You just like Tiger Lily.
I just like the game overall. I mean, it just looks... It looks intriguing. I'll say that it looks. It's piqued my interest more than the original, like E3 reveal did.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Quite excited.
Okay, Lewis.
Yeah, my interest was already pretty high for this game, so it's gone a little bit up. Again, it was already pretty high. I read some of the impressions of the game with the people who managed to actually play it at E3, and some people compared it very favorably to a game called Valkyria Chronicles. Which is another strategy game I really, really like. And so I have very high expectations of this game, and it looks like it's going to live up to them, which is pretty cool.
Okay, sounds great. I just like that it's made by Intelligent Systems, and I liked Fire Emblem Awakening, so I wanna try it out. The next game on here, Ultimate NES Remix. We didn't get a whole lot of information on this, but we did get a little bit. So, Lewis, what are your...
I think my opinion's probably about the same from this direct, but before the direct it dropped somewhat, when I found out it's pretty much the two remix games we have on the Wii U, plus basically I think it's just one additional mode, the Speed Mario.
The Famicom. Well, there's the Famicom mode that gives you some of the minigames that were found in the Japanese version of NES Remix.
It does have that.
There was that.
But not quite enough for me to... do a double purchase, as it were, so it's no longer on my radar. But it looks cool. If people out there don't own a Wii U, the concept NES Remix is really cool, so it's worth checking out.
Yeah, so Ultimate, in case you don't know, Ultimate NES Remix is for the 3DS, so it's like NES Remix on the go, so Yay. I'm kind of with Lewis on this one. My opinion pretty much just stayed the same on this one. Probably won't get it. It's, I don't know. Colin.
Yeah, I mean, see, the NES remix like idea is great if you grew up with an NES. And, like, of course, I didn't, so I've got no attachment to the NES at all. So, for me, it's just a collection of games which I've played some of them retroactively, but not. I don't want to see them, like, remixed, and it doesn't really interest me, so.
Which is really weird, because I think one of the audiences that Nintendo has been trying to target is, like, a new generation of gamers. Like, this is what gaming was back in the 80s. Here you go.
Yeah, I think I appreciate. I mean, there are games on there which I've not actually played, and obviously I've known a lot about them. And I found, like, going through just, like, the missions, or I'm not sure what you'd call them, really, like, the challenges one by one, and the starting ones are so easy, and it basically kind of teaches you how to play these games, and gives you, like, a quick understanding of what you need to do, and so on. And then you kind of get this bite-sized chunk of what this game is actually about, and you kind of feel like you have played through it, but you haven't really. I think it's quite cool to get those, like, samplings of these classic games, which you may not have the full time to go back and play the full thing.
It'd be like cheating on the NES Quest.
Exactly.
I should get it. Just kidding. All right, so our next game is Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. Lewis, how did your opinion change?
It was already high, but it's gone even higher. I'm loving the multiplayer mode in this. I thought it was going to be quite cheap initially, but the fact that these other people can pick up Kirby and chuck him from player to player... in some weird sport event. I think that looks fantastic.
So it's weird to me that you can have, like, you know, player one on the gamepad drawing lines for Kirby to follow and everything, and also the lines will be platforms for the Waddle Dees, but you can only have three Waddle Dees total.
That was a bit
weird. Which surprises me.
I'll take it. It makes up the four people. I know, you know, five would be more ideal to do that way around, but I did like how, you know, the person with the line would kind of flick Kirby up, and then a Waddle Dee would run across it, jump up, grab Kirby, chuck him to the next one. It's like, I'm not sure if any of my friends would be able to play in this kind of organized fashion. But if we ever did, that would be quite the feat. I'd be very impressed.
Well, sometimes chaos is the funnest thing that you can have going on with multiplayer sessions. But Colin,
revelations abound. I've never played it. I've never played a Kirby game.
Ever, period, really?
Not
ever.
Not even like these weird spin-off things.
Nope.
Fair enough.
What weird spin-off things are you talking about?
I was thinking of, like, there's like the pinball games and Dream Course and there's lots of like games of Kirby in it which aren't like what I would call traditional Kirby platforming games.
Yeah. That is weird.
You're weird, Colin.
Well, I've been called worse. So I've got no... It doesn't interest me at all, so I kind of...
Okay.
I glazed over that.
I'm kind of the same way on... I don't think I clarified what my opinion is. My opinion pretty much stays the same, because I think the gameplay concept of just playing the whole game basically by just drawing lines and tapping Kirby, I think that sounds really boring.
I agree with you, but so... I'd never played it, but I heard really great things about the DS version of this. Like, some calling it, like...
Kirby Canvas Curse?
Yeah, some calling it, like, the turning point of DS software. Like, it was the first game which really showed off the DS hardware, and it was a really good game in its own right.
Huh.
Never did pick it up, but yeah, heard great things. So, when they announced this, I thought it was really cool that I'll be able to play that concept, but in HD on the TV.
Is this the turning point for gamepad functionality?
Maybe not, but it's nice to see more of it. And also with the multiplayer, it's another asymmetric multiplayer, which we don't have many of.
Yeah, that's true. It could be good, so we'll see.
And it's all made out of clay. We shouldn't overstate that fact.
That's not my favorite graphical style, but I'll just leave that at that. talking about local multiplayer, though... we're kind of moving on now to indie games that were kind of highlighted during the Nintendo Direct. I watched some of the developer interviews on YouTube. Nintendo uploaded some developer interviews separate from the Nintendo Direct. You can go watch those if you want. There was a developer interview, though, for an indie game called Runbow. And, shocker, this game Runbo, an indie game, is going to have, it's going to support up to 9 player local simultaneous multiplayer.
Oh, that's crazy. That's
it is. Go look at the developer interview.
What
seriously.
Controllers would work? Is it?
No.
Everything. You can plug in a toaster and it will work. I don't know.
Oh, the Nin toaster.
Yeah, so what, I wonder if it supports the GameCube adapter. Because if not, because Smash Bros. Only supports up to 7 of the Bluetooth controllers, which is more than any other games. And the only other way to do it is through the DSs. So it'd be interesting if this game doesn't use either GameCube or DSs, yet manage to support 9 people.
That is a valid concern.
Maybe people share controllers. That could be a way.
Maybe. You got to see the developer interview and some of the
footage.
I am
intrigued. I will watch this after the show.
Yes, do that. Runbo. That's the name of the game. So, indie games in general and the indie game coverage in the Nintendo Direct. Does that change any feelings? I mean, they didn't highlight very many specific games, so really we're just talking about indie games in general. So, my opinion is the same. It's level. It's a plateau.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the same for me, but I mean, the one big omission was, Lewis, your game wasn't there.
No, nor was I was hoping that maybe the crossover game would come out in the American Direct, because that's scheduled for, well, hopefully, coming out in December, and it hasn't actually been confirmed yet. But it's on its way. It's going through testing still.
Oh, in that case, my opinion on indie games in general and Nintendo just went down because they didn't include that.
No, I was quite surprised.
Well, the developer interviews they had, I think, came from the Indiecade. So if RC Maniacs wasn't there, then there wasn't a chance for it to be featured, really. So it would have been really cool, though. I'd love to see an interview with RC Maniacs. So. But so, Colin, any changes in your opinions on indie games?
Not really. I mean, my opinions have pretty much stayed the same. It's just, I mean, I love indie games, but I'm excited, but I want to see more.
Well, after watching the developer interviews, actually, my opinion probably did actually go up on indie games. There's a lot of good-looking stuff coming up, so go watch those developer interviews. They're very interesting. But Lewis, opinions, how have they changed?
I like the showing that they did show off. I'm trying to think of the name now, but there was one game in particular I like that they had a focus on. It's another one of these odd claymation games. What is this one called? it's like a click and point adventure which got kickstarted.
I don't know what you're thinking of.
Does it begin with
A?
Oh, Armacrog. It does.
Armacrog. That's what I was thinking of. Yes. Armacrog.
Oh, that's probably Europe only or something, because I've never even heard that before.
I
think you guys' Nintendo Direct is slightly different from ours, so...
It didn't pop in your Direct, but I'm pretty sure you guys will be getting the actual game. And it's been created by... I hope I'm not misquoting it all this time, but I'm pretty sure it's by one of the either directors or creators of the Earthworm Jim series.
That's correct, yes it is.
It looks really cool. And yeah, again, it's fully done in claymation, which is pretty cool. At least from my side. I know we've got differing opinions now.
Yeah. Now we know that Lewis and I are completely opposite on our thoughts on...
Claymation.
Clay graphics.
And the podcast was divided.
We're all so angry at each other right now, you guys. Just kidding. I can feel the anger through the internet. Our next game, though, is Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. I just got to say my opinion has stayed the same, but it's really, really high. It's been really, really high ever since I got into Monster Hunter. Well, ever since I heard of Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, which was after I got into Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. Yeah. So it stayed the same, but it was high.
The Mario and Luigi feline costumes didn't push you over the edge then.
There was no edge for me to. I had already been pushed over the edge a long time ago. So I'm getting this game. It's been a day one purchase for me for... ever. But Lewis, any change of opinion?
I think my opinion is pretty similar to yours. I was kind of bemused at the amount of attention they put towards the Mario and Luigi feline costumes. So I thought the time could have been better spent detailing some of the other more interesting aspects of the Monster Hunter series.
That's true.
Possibly, but I guess.
In a way, it was quite amusing, but I did think it was... a weird use of its allotted time.
Yeah, it's just the fact that they show like the little poses that they're doing in various areas. It's just like, I want to see, can we see like some giant monsters or something? Yeah.
But actually, also, that's a good point.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we also have like the Samus and even the Link costumes?
That is...
Yeah, that's... those are for the actual hunter too. So
that's right.
Costumes and weapons.
The Link one makes sense for me. I mean, it somewhat makes sense.
Yeah, the Samus one was weird as well.
That's strange.
I mean, if you're going to
so
spend like...
strange.
It seemed like at least a full minute showing off those costumes, you might as well split them up with the Zelda series stuff and the Metroid series stuff as well, if you're going to go out into the whole Nintendo fan service route. But yeah, the game itself does look pretty cool. And yeah, it's one of those games that I think will be cool to play on the new 3DS as well.
Yep, when we finally get it.
Yeah, and I think they will release them side by side elsewhere in the world as well.
Do you really think that?
Yep.
Because I don't.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah,
I can tell you right now that
I'm kind of doubtful myself. But Colin, so it sounds like your opinion maybe on Monster Hunter has gone down.
I'm a little bit fed up with these collaborations. But it's Monster Hunter. I'm super excited to get it. So, yeah, I mean, it's my excitement for the game's gone up. Well, it'll stay the same, really. My excitement for these collaboration costumes has gone down. I'm like, oh, come on, I don't need any more. I was hoping they stop. You know, it'd be nice that they just, like, no more, but...
Well, anyone who's listening, and if you have any opinion on this, please let us know. I'd love to hear from you guys. Our next game, though, is Xenoblade Chronicles X. Ooh. Up. Way up. Yeah. So far up.
Always goes up, this one.
Yeah, just that comment that Iwata had where he said, like, the world in Xenoblade Chronicles X. And, you know, this stands to reason. It's bigger than in Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii.
That's right.
It makes sense. But, oh, my gosh, just to hear it and to think, oh, a world that's even bigger. Oh,
yeah,
so excited.
It does seem that obviously the world of X is a lot more, like, detailed and like, just packed, like, more densely packed than the original Xenoblade Chronicles world. So I wouldn't be too surprised if it was smaller. But to hear it is even bigger is pretty impressive.
It's an impressive feat, exactly. It is. I mean, I'm just going to buy this game and book a year of my life off. And just
and also,
sit back and relax.
Yeah, like seeing like some of the scenes looked like strangely realistic. Like they could be pulled out of like a GTA game or something. Just like that one scene where he jumps over the fence and then he finds himself. like on this street, as it were, and like the cars are going down, like you've got the big like realistic buildings. Yet there's other scenes.
New Los Angeles.
Love
that.
Yeah, and yet other scenes, you're kind of roaming through this big field with these gigantic monsters towering over you, and just like the mix of having both of these in the one game, and obviously not also include like the flying mechs and the driving them around and all that stuff as well. I cannot wait to get my hands on this game, and I really like dig my teeth into it. It's gonna be such a like big game to chisel away at, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. Although I'm still really intrigued if there will be an actual connection between this game and the game which came before it, like some sort of story link, or is it be a character link, or what they were gonna do.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I mean they kind of showed it with the first like reveal trailer, and it had like Shelby's face.
Yeah.
But yep. So it's like
it's one of his.
It's Ridley all over again.
Ancestors or something. I don't know.
I would say the only thing I was slightly intrigued about is they slightly changed the logo.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it looks great now. Better than before, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, because they removed the big red, the Xenogears X, which was the first game in the series. That was that X was from that game. So I'm like, oh, so I always thought this game was going to lead into that game. So like that'd be quite interesting. But now it's...
It would suck for those of us who never played it, though.
It was quite rare back in 98 when it came out. But yeah, so it's... I'm happy with it. The game looks incredible, so I'm not going to complain about the change of logo.
You were about to complain about it? I love it. It looks really futuristic now, and I think it captures the whole idea of the game and the setting and everything, so...
I'd think because I've played all the games now. I'm quite, you know... I was like, the old logo was like a throwback to the original game, but I'm fine with it. It's fine. The game looks incredible.
You better be happy with it. Just kidding. So up or down, or just up or stayed the same for you then?
Yeah. Sky high.
Sky high, okay. So I think we're all kind of agreed on that. We are just... everything new I see on Xenoblade Chronicles X just makes me want to play that game so much more. It's almost painful. But our last game on the list here is Splatoon,
saving
the last game featured in
the
Nintendo
last.
Direct. Oh, as far as like... Wow. Yeah, as far as an opinion change goes, wow. Yeah, mine, wow. So high up. I did not like the look of Splatoon that much at E3. I thought the graphics, like the visual style, just did not seem to have much of an identity. It just was really generic looking.
Yeah, do you know what?
I worried about that.
Yeah, I agree completely. But when me and Lewis went to London and played it, that completely changed my opinion on the game. Because it's just one of those things. Because I'm not a big fan of like third-person shooters. I find it a bit dull and tedious. But this game's incredible. And of course, seeing now there's like, you know, they showed off a brief glimpse into like the campaign mode, and it's like, it looks even more incredible. And so, I would say my thoughts on this game have gone up a substantial amount, but I'm wary because it's a shooter, even though I played it and it's really fun. But again, it's, you know, I think the multiplayer will be the main focus. Whereas,
yeah, I think they've kind of actually said as much, that the multiplayer is the main mode.
Yeah.
And this is like a secondary single player mode.
Which makes it seem like an afterthought.
True, but as afterthoughts go, it looks like it has a lot of thought put into it, as badly phrased as that is. Just because I was impressed with the amount of like different things they managed to get you to do with like your super square, as it were.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like puzzle mechanics and like moving you around the environment, they've managed to pull out a load of different uses for it, and I was very impressed. It looks really fun, and as Holly mentioned, when she initially saw Splatoon, it looked a bit generic and a bit bland, bit generic, I should say. Whereas it seems it now has kind of found its identity, which is just kind of embracing the weirdness. Because, you know, these are like ink children, not ink children, like squid children firing ink at
each other. Yeah, they're originally squids, apparently, who turn into humans.
Yes.
No matter how you phrase that, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
It's just complete nonsense.
So I feel with the reveal of the single player mode, they've kind of embraced this weirdness by having them like pitted against these octopus weird people. Robotic octopuses, is it?
They're not robotic, they just have these robotic vehicles or something like that.
Oh yeah, they do, don't they? I'm looking at some screens now. But the way they introduced them, like, against this like black background and this weird, weird music.
Oh yeah,
Like, it just does a complete, like, step change. Yeah, I think that's really cool, and I hope they kind of focus it also a bit more in that direction, in terms of just making it a little bit weird. Because I agree, as great as the game plays, it does look, on the face of it, a bit too... like kids show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very excited about the single player mode. I hope there's stuff in there to keep going back at it. And yes, I just cannot wait to get my hands on the full release of this game. It's probably my most anticipated game of next year.
Yeah.
As crazy,
Xenoblade is
crazy
mine.
As it sounds. I know, with Xenoblade there, I just like need to get my fix of this game. I know, as crazy
You're
as
mad.
It sounds. I know, but it's just like, I need to just play 5 minutes of this game.
You're mad,
especially
man.
After experiencing just a little taste of it at the post E3
exactly.
event.
I That's feel right. this could...
Now you're just like, must play more.
But this is like the multiplayer game, because as they said, it's a multiplayer focused game, and I feel it can even like rival Smash in its like multiplayer funness.
Steady on, Lewis. Steady on.
I know exactly. it's just my opinion. It's just my opinion, but I'm getting the right vibe from this game, and I've not had that vibe before since Smash, so I'm just saying there's something there, and people should be excited about it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
It's going to be a good multiplayer experience, but it's not going to rival Smash. Not in a million years.
I reckon it will get its own little dedicated community who feverishly love this game.
Yeah, but to rival Smash?
For some.
No.
There's a lot of people who like shooters out there.
There are, but there are also a lot of people who like Smash.
Everyone out there who likes shooters just only likes Call of Duty and realistic-looking shooters, so they probably wouldn't give Splatoon a second look.
That is a true point.
It captures this niche for the people who don't like Call of Duty, the people who like the gameplay of shooters. Splatoon can service them with its lovely Nintendo magic.
So that niche is going to be bigger than Smash.
I didn't say it'd be bigger. I said it could potentially be more fun.
You're crazy.
What I'm trying to say is Squid Kids for Smash.
Actually,
let's make all camps happy. DLC for Smash.
Yeah, actually, I can see that. That'd be quite interesting.
Or let's put some amiibo support in Splatoon so we can play as Mario and Link fighting with Super Squirters.
I think Mario would get confused. Because, not so many years ago, he was cleaning up the mess, and now he's creating it.
That is true.
You know what?
He can be the referee.
Referee. But, he's been referee before.
Exactly, he's got experience.
Exactly.
Just like he's got experience rescuing kidnapped people.
That's right. Yeah. End joke.
Also, I'm not sure I did mention, but it's got, some of the most catchiest music out there for Splatoon. Huh.
That original music that played in the trailer and the gameplay back at E3, that got on my nerves after a while. Just
for good or for bad, it sticks in your mind.
It does, actually. But so does the Caillou theme song, which, if you don't know what Caillou is, it's a show for, 2-year-olds. And I think my sister used to watch that when she was tiny, and the song was so annoying.
So there you go. A catchy tune does not make it good. But,
episode summed up.
That could be the title. So overall, what are your thoughts on this direct? Do you think it was a good one? Do you think it was?
That's what I was. That's my job asking that. Oh, I was going to have you guys rate it, terms of Nintendo Directs in general. How would you rate this particular direct on a scale of 1 to 10? I'd give it a 9, man. It was a good direct. I was surprised by it.
I don't know. We had a lot of good stuff, but it was mostly updates.
Yeah.
Awesome updates.
They were really good updates.
It just got me pumped for everything.
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get a 7.5.
Okay.
7.5. Okay.
You think that was high too?
Did I take your number?
I think that's way too... I think that's a bit too... No, you didn't take my number. I think being generous.
Too generous.
The updates were cool, but my there was a lack of release dates, which I was sort of... You know, when I saw Xenoblade, I was
Quarter 2,
yes.
That's all you need to know. Quarter 2 is Splatoon, did you not hear?
Yeah, I'm talking about Splatoon, man. But Xenoblade.
A lot of release windows, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was. But Xenoblade, it was just still 2015. It's we knew that already.
You'll be playing Splatoon, you'll be entertained, don't worry.
You and Splatoon.
So, Colin, give us your score already. I'm in suspense here, it's almost painful.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
Which is maybe harsh scoring, but I think 5 of those 6 points was just the Majora's Mask reveal.
I stay with my 9 because it was so jam-packed with new trailers, and I always love trailers, and they were good, good trailers that just got me hyped, man. Even the Mario Kart 8 DLC with the footage they had on the Mute City stage. Oh, man. Looks good.
Actually, I might even need to bump my score up by a point because I forgot about the what I talked about earlier about the Shovel Knight was both announced and released directly after Direct. And the
must have been Europe
and the Pikmin short movies, that was a nice surprise as well.
Yes, released.
straight after the Direct, and I like when they do that.
Yeah.
Actually, what's probably worth mentioning, and I bet none of us have played them, they also announced and released Sonic demos for the Wii U and 3DS straight after the Direct.
I did try the 3DS one.
Oh, okay.
And directly afterward, I tweeted that tweet that Colin saw, at least. You might not have seen it, Lewis, but I said, I will never like a Sonic game.
Have you played the Wii U one?
Ever.
Was there a demo?
Have I tried the Wii U demo? I don't think so. I thought it was just the 3DS one, so that's the one I went straight to. I gave up on that after just like a minute. Sonic will never click with me. I'm telling you, it's just a hopeless thing.
That's madness.
I guess I need to play the right one, because you did mention, Colin, that the newer ones are just not that great, and maybe I should try an old one, which I haven't.
Yeah, the newer games.
They vary in quality, the newer ones. They seem to be hits and misses.
Yeah. Although, if you have a, you know, you have a 3DS, so I would suggest Sonic Colors. That's a really
good try that one. I didn't like it that much, again.
Actually, I really enjoyed Colors. It was quite a nice take on a Sonic game.
Yeah, I heard good things about the Wii edition of that.
That's the edition that I played, actually. Were they different a lot? Or...
I don't know, because I played the DS version. So.
Okay. Didn't like the Wii version that much, but... Yeah, so just in case you guys or you listeners, that is, are wanting to know, there is a Sonic, what is it even called, Rise of Lyric? I think that's the 3DS one. There's a demo that I hated, so on that note.
Yeah, it's on the 3DS, grab it now, but it's not on the Wii U, I made it up, I've just checked.
Yeah, but I didn't think they had announced the
But you can download the old demo. Sonic Lost World demo. A game which I regretfully purchased for very cheap, but it was still not cheap enough.
Wow. There you go.
I downloaded it when they had like the Yoshi and Zelda DLC, just because I was so confused. Yeah, it headed me over to Amazon.
So confused.
To buy it for like £20, but it was not worth it. It's such a weird game, but not in a good way.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
One of these days, maybe, I'll try Sonic 2. Is Sonic 2 the best one ever or something? Or
Sonic 2 is good. I hear people say Sonic 3 is even better, but I think I probably prefer 2.
They're interchangeable, really.
2 and 3? Okay.
Yeah. Sonic 2. I would recommend Sonic 2.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Someday.
If you do like a Mega Drive or a Genesis...
It's got to be on Virtual Console, like on the Wii or something, right?
Yeah, they're definitely on Virtual Console.
Okay.
Yeah, I would guess so.
I might go that route. But that will bring us, I believe, to the end of our show. Thank you to all of our listeners for listening in. If you want to comment on anything that we've talked about or anything Nintendo-related, as always, you can send us a message. You can also send in your questions, of course, to contact@infendo.com. for, you know, an email, or you can always post in the browser in the post box below the post if you want to do that. I'm just going to quickly, for those of you who have Fantasy Life, I'm serious about that Twitter thing, so here's my Twitter handle. It's @HollyFelmeth. That's just my name, all one. HollyFelmeth. And we've been giving them out so much that I'm just going to skip you guys. Sorry.
That sounds fair.
I am shocked.
I'm such a horrible host.
Favoritism.
To myself.
Yep. Clearly.
Oh. Just a quick note, though, before we end the show. Harrison had an unfortunate... I mean, he hasn't been in an episode for like 3 weeks now, I believe, because he had been at... You know, he's been to events and such. But in the future, continuing forward, he will probably be taking a hiatus for another good long time because his laptop died. And we're trying to look for alternatives to get Harrison back in, but unfortunately, we probably won't be hearing from him for maybe a couple of months.
Moment of silence.
For Harrison's laptop.
For Harrison's laptop.
Yeah, so we're going to get him back in here as soon as possible. Oh, I'm already trying to look for some alternatives, and we'll see how that goes. But with that, that is the close of our show. Thank you again for listening, everyone. We'll see you later.
See you later.
Goodbye, everybody.